So we hear this story of Naaman the leper. Don't know if you've ever read the story of Naaman. It's kind of, for some reason, this story has always fascinated me, and I've always loved it. Naaman, this is from the second book of Kings. Naaman is originally from Syria. He's one of the big men. He's an official in the country. He's come down with leprosy, which is obviously not a particular good state of being. And he's desperate. He's trying to look for any way to get out of this situation. He knows that this is a death sentence. It's going to be a very slow, not very comfortable way of going. Now, in the midst of this, one of the servants is in his, where he's working, is a person from Israel. And they see Naaman suffering and whinging and complaining, and they say, you know, back in my place, there's this prophet, and he heals people. Why don't you give that a go? You've tried everything else. And this kind of sparks something in him. He's like, ooh, a prophet. That sounds interesting. You know, who knows what this could do? I'm sure he'll give me something amazing, you know, do some sort of prophet thing, you know. And so anyway, they embark. They head off on this journey from Syria across to Israel. And you can imagine the expectation that's in this man. He's never seen a prophet before. You know, some great mystical thing's going to go on here. He's going to ask him to go and round up 1,000 cows and slaughter them and offer them as a sacrifice to God and, you know, do something elaborate, and that will win God's favor and the leprosy will go. And so he comes to this place with so much expectation. Comes to Elisha, the prophet. And he says, okay, you're the great mystic. You're the great prophet. Do something. Tell me what it is I have to do to be healed. And Elisha says, just go down to the Jordan and wash yourself. And naturally, Naaman goes, is that all? You don't want me to round up 1,000 cows and slaughter them? You know? You just want me to take a stupid bath? Is that all you're going to ask me to do? I was expecting you to be someone holy. I was expecting you to be something great and mystical. Come on, do something. Don't just tell me to go and have a bath. I could have done that back home. We've got much better rivers than the Jordan. He actually says that. And he nearly packs up and goes home. It's only when his servant says, look, you've come this far, give it a go. You know, can't hurt. You got across the Jordan anyway to get back to Syria. You may as well go in for a swim. And so he does, bathes himself 7 times, and bang, he's done. Leprosy's gone. He's cured and he comes back a transformed man. Whereas before he was cynical and he was like, yeah, I know this better than you do. You're not much of a prophet. You know, could have done something much more elaborate. Suddenly his arrogance is gone. Suddenly his pride is washed away with his leprosy, and he comes back thankfully. He's like, I can't give you enough praise. I'll do anything to say thank you. Now, as I said, this story has always fascinated me. And I think because I feel a bit like this man. You know, I think a lot of us stand in this position. Yes, we're aware of our brokenness. Anyone who stops long enough in the silence is aware that life is not quite right. There are things we don't like about ourselves. There are things that we just wish weren't part of our story. And we desperately want to get rid of it. We'll do anything. Now, I think my experience was when I became aware of this and I finally had the courage to kind of say, okay, let's take this to God. Let's see what God is going to do. Okay, I believe in God. He's the great healer. I have faith that Jesus will heal me. How is he going to heal me? I'm expecting something elaborate. I'm expecting as though God's going to say to me, okay, you need to spend 15 years praying the rosary every 5 minutes. You know, you need to list off a whole pile of litanies. You need to fast 13 days a week. You need to do the most ridiculous practices to win my favor, and then I will heal you. And to be honest, I was kind of wanting that. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Tell me what I'm going to do, and I'll do it. And yet what I hear is Jesus say, just let me love you. I'm like, is that it? Really? God, I was expecting something more here. You know, do a bit of thunder and lightning, something big so I know that something's happening here. And to be honest, I think for many years I kind of walked away and I thought, yeah, come on. I'll try the other stuff first, because I don't think this whole letting yourself be loved by God thing is actually going to do anything. So I went off and spent many years trying really hard and doing all sorts of things, expecting that that was going to be the breakthrough. Fasting and praying and beseeching God and banging on heaven, saying, come on, I'm proving myself, do something. And to be honest, not much happened. I'm a bit of a slow learner, but I think it's only in recent years I've actually come back, like Naaman, and thought, okay, let's actually try the first thing. Just let myself be loved by God. And as I've done that, it's amazing how quickly it's all been healed. And there's a whole lot more yet to go. I'm still discovering more and more every day. But it's like this. As soon as Naaman gave up his pride and gave up this idea that I've got to earn it, I've got to do it, I've got to fight for it, and he actually just washed himself in the Jordan, the leprosy vanished. Now, what I want to say to you tonight is this is the secret. The stuff that is afflicting you, the stuff that burdens you and holds you down, the answer to that is simply to let yourself be loved by Jesus. Now, as I say that, I know that almost all of you are going, yeah, I know that. I've known that for years and it hasn't happened. Nothing's changed. But what I want to say to you is, you know, Naaman knew where the Jordan River was, just as you know that God loves you. But have you immersed yourself in that river? Have you immersed yourself in it 7 times? Have you kept dunking yourself into the love of God until your leprosy has been washed away? This is what the Christian life is meant to be. It's meant to be an immersion into the love of God. And through that, you will be healed. The answer to your need for healing will come when you spend your life contemplating how you have been loved. Not by you trying desperately to prove your love, but just by sitting back and receiving. And that'll do it. I guarantee you. If it doesn't, you can hold me to that and tell me that I'm wrong. I'll be very happy to hear. But if you actually fully immerse yourself in this knowledge. Now, once again, at that point, some of you are going, yeah, contemplating the love of God. That something about that word always makes us react. I haven't got time to contemplate. I haven't got time to pray. That's that luxury for you priests and brothers and so on, you know. You get to live this nice life where you sit around praying all the time and thinking about how much you're loved by God. Us normal people have got to work. We've got children that are screaming and crying and dirty nappies to change and dishes to clean, and we haven't got time to pray. It's a cop-out. Because what I want to say to you is that you are already a contemplative. Your life is already a contemplative life. Okay. It's only that you're contemplating the wrong things. You are already a master at meditation. It's only that you're meditating on the wrong things. And you do this every day in your busiest moments. You will have 15 things happening at one time, and yet you will still be meditating and deeply contemplating about the wrong things. You'll be meditating over the comment that that person made to you earlier in the day, which has made you really angry. You can be doing 15 different things at the same time and still meditating deeply upon how much they hurt you. You'll be busy talking to people. You'll be in the middle of a business deal, and still in the back of your head, you'll be contemplating thinking about, gee, if only that person was here right now, they would really delight in me. They would be loving me. They would think I'm the most amazing person in the world if they could see me right now. That's contemplation. That's your heart yearning for love and turning to the place where you think you're going to receive it. And most of the time, we turn to a fantasy. We turn to a fantasy of, if only that person could see me now, I would be loved. If only they knew how well I'm doing, they would appreciate me. If only they knew how much I've sacrificed for them, then they would love me. It's coming out of the leprosy. It's coming out of the wound. That desperate desire to be filled with delight, with someone loving you, someone appreciating you. That is meditation. And that is contemplation. But as I said, it's just focused on the wrong thing. If only we would learn the habit of, instead of meditating on a fantasy, meditate on the reality. That as you are sitting there doing a business deal, think about how much your Heavenly Father delights in you. As you are there cleaning the toilets, as you are there driving home, instead of thinking about how much you wish this person was in your life so that they would love you, think of how close God is at that moment already loving you. Think of what He has already done to love you, the sacrifices He has made to say that you are worth it. You know, because we spend so much time in our heads trying to prove that we're worth it. You know, they don't appreciate me. If only they knew how much I'd sacrificed to make this happen. Stop and think how much sacrifice God has made because you're worth it. Yeah, there is a habit here. There is something we need to learn. But it's a very simple thing of switching the focus. You don't have to learn great methods and techniques of prayer because you're already doing them. It's simply a matter of, instead of chasing after the fantasy, wishing that someone would love you, wishing that someone would delight in you, focus on the reality of how you have already been loved, how God is currently delighting you. See, that is the River Jordan for us. That is the place we need to immerse ourselves into. And just as Naaman had to do it 7 times, you've got to do this every day. Anytime you catch your thinking, that your thinking starts to go on to resentment, playing over past hurts, thinking over again and again what that person did to you, how they've wounded you, or how you wish they would love you, catch hold of that thought and stop it. And then make an active choice and say, okay, how is God loving me? How is He encountering me now? And you see, every moment of your life becomes a chance to meditate on the love of God. Now, I say this particularly for parents. When your kids are screaming, when they're fighting, when they're, you know, making a mess of their dinner, meditate on the incarnation. The fact that God has become a human being. As a 4-year-old, He was probably making a mess of His soup and loving you somehow through that. You know, your life becomes a chance of to meditate on the love of God. The very fact that God has become human means that every part of our life becomes a window into the mystery, an encounter into why would God love me so much that He would suffer what I'm suffering, that He would experience what it is to be sleep deprived, to stub His toe, you know, to just get frustrated because things are breaking. Why would He love me that much to enter into my reality? Immerse yourself in the mystery. And as you do that, you'll see the fruit. Now, as I said, I guarantee this. If you can make that decision to immerse yourself in the river of the Lord's delight, That is where you'll be healed of your leprosy. That is where your thirst for love will be nourished. That is where your anger will start to disappear. That is where that deep frustration in our souls, because we're not content. Something deep at the level of our identity, which is just not satisfied. If you can just meditate in the midst of your day on how you are loved, that will be nourished. So take up that challenge. You've come here, not to the prophet Elisha, but you've come here to Jesus Christ. And what he has offered you may not sound like it's going to do anything at all. But I just want to encourage you, take the challenge. Immerse yourself in the mystery. Immerse yourself in the awareness of his delight in you.